Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWEPodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.
You're going to acknowledge me.
What's going on, everybody? Guys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I am the host of this show, Michael Ritter. You can find me on X at Michael5Ritter, on Instagram at MichaelRitter5, and also one of the hosts of the Football Function Podcast, which is also available on all your podcasting platforms, including on Patreon if you prefer an ad-free listening experience. Speaking of the Football Function, similar to the WWE draft that's going to be taking place next Friday on SmackDown, it's a two-day event, so it's going to be taking place on Friday and on Monday. But the NFL draft will also be taking place next Friday night as well. Starts Thursday, that's round one on Friday, rounds two and three, and then four through seven take place on Saturday. So going to be, you know, quite a bit of stuff to cover as far as the WWE draft takes place next week. So it's going to be a loaded week for me because not only do I have to cover that draft, but I also have to cover, you know, the NFL draft too. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's always an exciting time of year. I just wish that WWE would wait, you know, let the NFL draft kind of marinate because that's the same time every single year. We've seen the WWE draft take place, I mean, over the years, taking place in October. It's taking place during the summer. I even remember one of my favorite ones taking place in March. But if I'm not mistaken, I think that last year or the year before, I want to say last year, it took place during the NFL draft as well. So we'll figure out how to work that all out schedule-wise. I will still obviously get the SmackDown review out to you on Saturday, most likely. So I am, So that's just how next week is going to go down. But as far as tonight, or today, I should say, because I'm coming to you from April 20th, aka Grim Reaper Day, 2024, to break down the episode that took place last night, April 19th, 2024, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Location breakdown brought to you by none other than DJ Kuzmo. And I will be honest, I don't think this episode of SmackDown was the best. I think that it was kind of an okay episode of SmackDown, I guess. Now, I will say, there were great things that happened as far as, like, the number one contenders being announced. Obviously, the tag team championships being introduced. We saw a new twist, kind of, with the Bloodline, if you will. Being that Solo Sikoa came out dressed completely different than he really ever has before. But we'll get to all that stuff as we break down this episode. Also, on today's episode, at the very end, we're going to break out another Stack 'Em Up Saturday. In honor of new championships being revealed, I'm going to do my top five championship designs. Just looking at all the different championships that are right now on the main roster. Not going to feature any NXT, and I'm not going to feature any duplicates. For example, the World Heavyweight Championship and the Women's World Championship pretty much look identical outside of the color of the strap. So I'm not going to put championships that look the same on multiple different spots on this list. There's only five spots, so I want to kind of keep it unique in that aspect. So anyways, let's go ahead and get into this episode of SmackDown because it is going to be a little bit of a jam-packed show. Although, you know, like I said, with the episode of SmackDown not really being a high-end episode, there's not going to be much depth that needs to go into whenever you're talking about each of these segments. So we're going to just roll through it per usual, but you know, just bear with me here because, you know, obviously some of these segments just, they weren't really noteworthy, just being completely honest. But let's get into the way that the show started, which is a way that I appreciate starting the show with a one-on-one match. And not just a one-on-one match, but a number one contenders match for the undisputed WWE Championship. So a pretty important match. This is going to set the stage for the main event for the next pay-per-view in France, I believe, Backlash. So I just thought that right out the gate, this show had potential, and I just felt like maybe things happened a little bit backwards, I guess, or just out of order. Like, if the order of the segments was shuffled a little bit. Like, if you can move around some of these segments and put the beginning match at the end, the way that the show ended, kind of throw that in the middle somewhere. I don't know. Maybe just the order is actually what made this episode feel a little bit lackluster. But LA Knight versus AJ Styles. We talked about this last week whenever it was announced that we were going to get this match for the number one contender spot against Cody Rhodes. And I feel like the right person won here. AJ Styles, it just makes sense. Even Cody Rhodes, whenever he cut his promo, because he's in France or United Kingdom right now, I apologize. He cut his promo stating that it was going to be two Georgia boys going against each other. AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes. We get a heel, we get a baby face. We've already kind of talked about the connections that these two have just from their history and obviously where they've won championships at in the past. It leads them to right here, right now in this opportunity. Does anybody expect AJ Styles to win this match? Probably not. Like, I think that at this point in Cody Rhodes' run, he's just as much of a lock as Roman Reigns was, you know, after WrestleMania every year, whenever we knew, okay, Roman Reigns isn't going to lose his championship at the Elimination Chamber in Montreal to Sami Zayn. You knew that wasn't going to happen. As much as we all love Sami Zayn in the 2023 build-up to WrestleMania and thought that he deserved an opportunity because of the whole Bloodline storyline and him hitting Roman Reigns with a chair, we thought that it could have made sense for Sami Zayn to get his moment, but at the end of the day, nobody thought that, you know, he had a shot. Same thing with Kevin Owens, who faced Roman Reigns in that run, and many, many others. They were essentially just, you know, like a placeholder is a way to say it. And not even a placeholder for a championship, a placeholder for like a number one contender spot, which we knew eventually was going to be Cody Rhodes, and he was going to be the one to take on Roman Reigns. And now I kind of feel like the tables have turned, and now Roman Reigns is out of the picture, out of the equation at this point. And Cody Rhodes is the one that seems like he's going to inevitably win no matter what. Just at this point, I don't think he's going to go on a multi-year title reign, but the way that they've booked these champions over the past year or so, they like to have them go on a little bit of a lengthy run outside of Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre's run was historically short. I do anticipate him getting that World Heavyweight Championship back at some point, but other than, you know, a short reign here or there, Gunther went on an extremely long reign. Rhea Ripley was on one until she got injured, and obviously Roman Reigns is a historic reign that will probably not be seen again. So AJ Styles getting this opportunity is pretty huge, but he's been pretty outspoken about his desire to retire at some point very soon. He doesn't want the crowd to see a shell of himself. He wants to go out still as the Phenomenal One, like we remember. It almost makes me wish he wouldn't have even changed his song. Like, just keep that great song that you've had. I don't think that this one makes that big of a difference in terms of his overall production and presentation as a wrestler. Like, I think that it could have been one of those historic songs that are synonymous with wrestlers. Like, you know, like, how many songs do you think of with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker? You know, John Cena at this point. I mean, yeah, he's had like one other one in the past, but for the most part, wrestlers don't have to change their song. If your song hits, it doesn't matter if you're a heel or a babyface, the song will still resonate with the crowd, and especially his song. I felt like it was kind of a versatile song. Like, it didn't seem like it was strictly a babyface theme. Like, the beat even has a little bit of an edge to it. Like, I don't know. I like the song, so I wasn't a fan of him making the switch, but it is what it is. People do this all the time. I imagine he'll go back to his old one at some point, and the crowd will pop for it. Next up, Solo Sikoa shown getting out of a blacked-out car, similar to Roman Reigns and the way he used to do it. So you can tell right away that they're trying to paint that picture in our head that he's the new tribal chief, or at least raise the suspicion as to, damn, like what's Solo Sikoa doing at this point? Is he trying to force it? Is he trying to force his way to the head of the table? Ultimately going to set up a lovely feud between him and Roman Reigns, which we've kind of seen coming. There's been teases at it for like 2 years now, here and there. So yeah, I don't know when Roman Reigns is coming back. I know that his return date is pretty much... I saw a report not that long ago that it's not even like on the table right now. Like, it's pretty much like he's out indefinitely. Don't expect to see him back until SummerSlam at the very earliest. And I still have questions about that. Just, I think that like with this title reign ending, he's absolutely taking advantage of this time off. Like, he's already been known to take long periods of time off while he was the champion in one of the biggest storylines. So do you think that now that he's kind of getting a chance to let other people take the spotlight, that he's not going to take advantage and, you know, spend multiple months off? I don't think we're going to see Roman Reigns anytime soon. That's just kind of how I expect it. But Solo Sikoa does introduce the newest member of the Bloodline, his quote-unquote MFT, which I believe from the research I've done stands for My Family Tree. So we'll see if he continues to call him that or if he just calls him Tama Tonga because that's who he was introducing. And then demands to be taken to Kevin Owens. So we are getting closer and closer, I feel, to having it all but official that we're getting Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa at Backlash. Kevin Owens, I believe, speaks fluent French because he's French-Canadian. So this is going to be like a homecoming for him, essentially. Like, I can already tell you who the crowd's going to be rooting for. And with Solo Sikoa's track record and the fact that he can't buy a win, you could just all but take it to the bank that Kevin Owens is going to kick Solo's ass whenever they get to France at Backlash. And just historically, like I said, talking about stages, Backlash always had one of the best stages. I can remember some pretty good matches taking place there. After Chris Benoit beat Triple H at WrestleMania 20 and he won that triple threat match, their rematch happened at Backlash. Not just that, but I believe on that same card, we had Mick Foley versus Randy Orton. When Randy Orton went on those thumbtacks, he went for an RKO. It was pretty much the moment that cemented Randy Orton as a future legend, just because who he was going up against at that point, he had already put enough on tape to let you know that he was a legitimate superstar and just being an evolution. It was a great moment in time, like that Backlash card. And I think Goldberg might have, I don't know for sure. I think Goldberg might have been out the door if that Backlash took place after WrestleMania 20, because that was Goldberg's last match against Brock Lesnar. So yeah, I'm getting completely off the rails here. But nonetheless, go watch that Backlash if you haven't already, because, you know, it's one of the few pay-per-views that was around in the Ruthless Aggression era that is finally back. And it's been back for a few years now, but I just like that it seems like a mainstay and it's right after WrestleMania like it should be. Now, you know, if I can preach other things in new existence, let's get No Way Out back. Let's get No Way Out, the pay-per-view, back in the rotation. Let's get Judgment Day. I mean, I know that's kind of weird now that there's a faction called the Judgment Day, but we all know where Judgment Day originated from. Armageddon, Unforgiven. They do have No Mercy down on NXT. Same thing with Great American Bash. So I do appreciate the fact that NXT is keeping some of these traditions alive. But I think WWE itself as a main roster, we can get rid of some of these lackluster pay-per-views. You know, we don't need TLC. We don't need Extreme Rules. We don't need Hell in a Cell. We damn near don't even need Elimination Chamber. Like, come on. Like, let's bring some actual creativity to some of these pay-per-view names. But up next, Nick Altus introduces Triple H to come out and debut the new WWE Tag Team Championships. And as Triple H was walking out, a QR code popped up. And if you actually looked into that, it's 100% an Uncle Howdy video. Like, it's a vignette. And you could just all, you know, book it that Uncle Howdy is going to be returning. Now, who's he going to be coming with? Is it going to be with Braun Strowman? Eric Rowan? Have a different, you know, iteration of the Wyatt family? I'm really not sure, but I am glad to see that they are continuing with the development of this Uncle Howdy character. I know there was a lot of juice left to be squeezed out of that. So the fact that they are still going forward with it, I do appreciate that. Another thing I appreciate is these WWE Tag Team Championships and the name change. Now, let's just be honest. I called it. Called it a long time ago for the longtime listeners that know that I pretty much did the exact same thing with the women's belts. But that's neither here nor there. You know, we're not here to pat ourselves on the back. It's just one of those things like, hey, we keep receipts around here. But either way, Grayson Waller, Austin Theory, they come out with their quote-unquote old tag team championships, the blue one. And knowing what was going to happen, like I did, like if you kind of got spoiled in this segment and you knew that the tag team champions or the tag team championships were going to be switched, which obviously that's just part of being in the Discord server. you get live updates. And I know that. I don't leave the Discord so I won't get these updates. I enjoy them. You know, I don't go into SmackDown wanting to be surprised. If something happens and, you know, I'm not watching yet, I will still check it out and see kind of what's going on before I actually watch the show. It actually allows you to know what to look for. But I did get a chance just as they were walking out to kind of get a last little appreciation for those colored belts, because luckily those days are over. We don't need brand themed belts to have a successful brand split. And hopefully this draft is the one that really brings it back. And you expect that to be the case with Nick Aldis here and his presence and Adam Pearce over on Monday Night Raw. I just have a really good feeling about it. That's one way to look at it. Now, one little early prediction I will say, I know that Cody Rhodes winning that belt should mean that he's on SmackDown, right? He won it from a SmackDown superstar. It's the SmackDown championship. But I don't think WWE wants Cody Rhodes on SmackDown. I think they legitimately want him to be the face of Monday Night Raw. It's the flagship show. And I think that in this draft, we're going to see Cody Rhodes get drafted to Monday Night Raw. And it's going to be one of the quote-unquote big draft picks. And it's probably going to be the first overall pick. Like, ooh, we're drafting Cody Rhodes. Because, again, we don't know how this format is going to be for the draft. Is it going to be a random type thing, which is the ones that I prefer? Or is it going to be, you know, everyone's thrown into one draft pool and the rosters are pretty much at a complete reset and they're picking their rosters from scratch, which I like that as well. But I do like some stability. I don't like to start from scratch every single year. Like, let's get some of these wrestlers that are synonymous with their brand more time to become more synonymous with that brand and stay over there. So I would appreciate it if they wouldn't start from scratch and we just got like 5 or 6 draft picks each where they kind of switched over. But also, don't forget, NXT is involved. So that's going to kind of throw a wrench in this whole thing, which again is what I alluded to either last week or a few weeks ago. I really liked whenever NXT was a developmental brand. Like whenever it truly felt like a developmental brand, like you'd see wrestlers on NXT for months to even years, and you become familiar with that character, and then the Royal Rumble happens, or Raw after Mania, and then bam, their music hits, and you have that real excitement because you're familiar with that wrestler, and they've been synonymous, and you know, it feels like a legitimate call-up, not a lateral move going from one brand to the other. It feels like, no, this wrestler is getting called up. It's almost like getting moved up to varsity, you know? You get your opportunity to go perform on the main roster, and I just think that that's whenever NXT was at its best. But I understand there's probably a lot of success right now with Shawn Michaels running the show. It's just going to ultimately feel like a bigger deal. But that's just kind of my 2 cents on it. As Theory and Waller come out, getting back to this segment, Triple H tries to shake their hands, but they disrespect him and refuse, which pisses Nick Aldis off. And he says that if they ever do that again, he will make, quote unquote, a clown down under disappear permanently. And then announces that the Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match starts right now, which is exactly where we go. We get a Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match, Street Profits, New Catch Republic, LDF, and AOP. And in terms of the order that I would have liked to see these teams win, probably LDF last. Like I'll rank them fourth. I just feel like they already have their heels so deep in this LWO stuff that I don't think that they would be great champions, and I don't think they would even be believable challengers. And if they did win, what would they do with it? Like, I feel like they would just sit on those belts because they don't have the interest from the fans right now to actually get engaged in what they're doing. I feel like they're kind of just pawns right now, or just, I guess, accessories for the feud that's going on between Santos Escobar and the LWO, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but just a little bit of a sidebar. I'm kind of over this. Like, it seems like it's been going on for like a year now. And I just think that both of these groups, LDF and LWO, can benefit from going their own separate ways, because I feel like we've kind of ran its course at this point. Santos Escobar, before his match a little bit later, and we'll get to that, but he pretty much announces again that they're not responsible for Dragon Lee getting hurt. So is there somebody in the LWO that's dirty? Like, do they have a rat over there in their group that is the actual one that injured Dragon Lee? Is it Carlito? Because he was looked over to be you know, Rey Mysterio's partner multiple times. Whenever you count that, you know, he picked Andrade to be his WrestleMania tag team partner. So I don't know. They could go that direction. If so, remember where you heard it first. If Carlito actually is the one that took out Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar is going to throw him under the bus, because it seems like that's basically the only direction they can go at this point. But anyways, this Fatal 4-Way match, I'd put LDF or Legado del Fantasma last. AOP after them, just because, you know, they're newly returned, kind of the same thing. If the Final Testament got those belts, I do feel like there would be more potential than if it went to LDF, because I do like AOP as a tag team, but I just don't think that it's a big time necessary move at this point to put the belts on them. New Catch Republic, I just like them. I think they're a really talented group. Tyler Bate actually had a really good spot in this match where he picked up one of the members of Authors of Pain and was starting to spin him around before he got taken out. But I think that group has a lot of potential. And then obviously number one was the Street Profits, which they did ultimately win this match. So I do feel like the right team won. I know that they're kind of involved in another feud as well with the Final Testament. But I just think that the Street Profits are able to multitask a little bit better than a team like Legado del Fantasma could. And the Street Profits do have that credibility from their previous title reigns. And just, I think they're a legitimate group. So yeah, I'm glad the Street Profits ended up winning that. Moving on to more Solo Sikoa stuff. He's shown upset backstage that he can't find Kevin Owens. And Heyman says that he doesn't want to upset Solo. The last person on this earth that he wants to make mad is Solo Sikoa. But he does imply that Solo is making decisions that aren't up to him. He's making decisions that aren't his to be made. Clearly referring to Roman Reigns, and that Roman Reigns is the tribal chief. Solo just pretty much brushes this off, tells him to shut up. Are you finished yet? And then the two come out to the ring, and the crowd begins chanting, "We want Roman." I did notice the camera went to Solo's face, kind of zoomed in, and you see Solo mouth, "Now you do," like alluding to the crowd wanting Roman Reigns. I'm not sure if that was on purpose, like if he actually was supposed to say that in terms of like a scripted thing to say, or if it's just legitimately how he feels. I just wrote it down. I thought it was noteworthy. But Solo kind of, after getting the Dom treatment, where the crowd is just pretty much booing him and he has to talk over him, he mentions that last week he had to lose a brother to get a new one, Tama Tonga. And on cue, as Solo mentions his name, we see a bloody Kevin Owens being beaten to a pulp by Tonga. And KO refuses to give up, even goes directly at Tama Tonga. But after Solo hits him with a Samoan spike, that was pretty much all she wrote. The next image we see is the new version of the Bloodline standing at the top of the ramp, holding up the one with their hands covered in blood. And then after the commercial break, Nick Altus, he takes Heyman out to the parking lot to show him the aftermath of an apparent car crash that involved Tama Tonga ramming into Kevin Owens' car. And he pretty much tells Paul Heyman, that type of behavior will not be tolerated. And then he makes a reference to last week and what Solo said. Nick Altus says that losing isn't the only thing that has consequences because the draft is coming up. Nick Altus seems like he has some power and he ain't afraid to use it. I'm going to be honest. I'm a fan of Nick. He hasn't really rubbed me the wrong way at all. I know that some people don't like babyface authority figures. They don't like him to be heel or babyface one way or the other. They kind of like him to be like a neutral presence, similar to how Adam Pearce kind of was for the last few years. But I will say I do like that this Nick Altus character does have a little bit of color to him. Like he has some personality. It's clear. Kind of the role that he's going to play. We saw it literally from the first time he picked up a microphone whenever he told Dominic that he's a big fan of your dad. That was a funny little line that he said there, and I feel like that kind of set the tone for what we can expect with Nick Altus. And so far, so good with him being the general manager of SmackDown. Up next, though, is that match that we were kind of talking about earlier, Santos versus Carlito. We get some minor distractions. Obviously, LWO was out there. Electra Lopez is the one that kind of distracts Carlito long enough for Santos to hit Phantom Driver and end up getting this win. If this was the last match in this feud, I wouldn't complain. But as I've kind of talked myself in to another little layer of this whole thing with the LDF and specifically Santos repeatedly referring to the fact that they did not take out Dragon Lee, just makes me feel like they want us to know that. And there's probably still at least a couple months left to go in this whole little feud. But let's see. Next up, Damage Control. They're being interviewed by Caleb Braxton from a suite in the crowd. So they're kind of in that middle area. not the lower section, not the nosebleeds. They're sitting right there in that middle section that are probably pretty expensive seats, if I'm being honest. And they pretty much just cut a promo saying that Io Sky will go after her championship whenever she's good and ready, because Dakota Kai didn't appreciate that Kayla Braxton introduced Io Sky as the former champion. She's like, former? The only reason why she's not champ is because she is going to go after that belt whenever she's good and ready. And then we find out that Bianca and Jade are actually in the suite next door. So both groups are trying to watch this one-on-one match between Bayley and Naomi, which takes place right now. And we get a relatively good match. Like, this is the main event here. So I thought that we were going to get some good action. And that's exactly what we did. These two haven't gone at it on a live, you know, live television format and platform since, I think they said March of 2022, February of 2020. So literally 4 years ago since these two have locked arms or locked horns, whatever the phrase is, in an actual WWE ring on television. Now, they've probably gone at it in live events, obviously gotten some work together to build up some chemistry so they could put a good show together. But still, like, if you actually track live television events as the actual canon in WWE, then yeah, these two haven't gone at it since 2020. And it unfortunately comes to an abrupt end after Tiffany Stratton breaks up the match and causes a disqualification by beating the brakes off of both Bayley and Naomi, hitting the prettiest moonsault ever or whatever. She calls it on both of them, a 2-for-1. And you, like, I'm going to be honest, I'm a fan of Tiffany Stratton. Obviously, beautiful, very talented in the ring. And I just think that along with Jade Cargill and other women's wrestlers who have come up recently, she has a very bright future. And if she gets picked and has to leave SmackDown, you will hear me talk about that next week on the show. We can just go ahead and get that out of the way right now. But that is pretty much the show. That's how SmackDown came and gone. Like I said, as you just witnessed and reviewed with me, wasn't the most noteworthy show, but it was still decent. I've broken down way better episodes of SmackDown, so I totally understand how some fans might not think this was the best one, and I'm right there with them. But next week, I mean, this was pretty much just, hey, here's a nice show. We're going to name some number one contenders. I do wish, though, that they would wait to do the draft till after a pay-per-view. Like, they're doing it literally like right before Backlash when these number one contenders are being announced. If the number one contenders and everyone else doesn't end up getting drafted, like if they don't end up going to the opposite brand, then cool, it all works out. But I feel like they do this every single year. It's like, man, just wait a little bit. You can find yourself at a good stopping point, or do it right after WrestleMania. Like, you say there's no off-season in WWE, have the draft Monday night after WrestleMania, if that's what you want to do. Start that two-day event, Monday right after Mania, and then the second day on SmackDown. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll kind of see. Although I do like that they started off on SmackDown. I feel like all the juicy picks happen. So obviously I can't wait to break that down next week. But before we sign off here today, as promised, I am going to quickly rank my top five championship belt designs currently in WWE. And again, I'm not going to count any on NXT. I'm not going to use any duplicates such as the Women's World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE Women's Championship. And it's not because I, you know, like the men more. I just like the black strap better. We'll just kind of get that out of the way right now. So anyways, let's go ahead and start off here. Number five, the WWE Tag Team Championship. The ones that were just introduced last night. The reason why I like these is because they're a little bit unique. I didn't really like the circular design of the tag team championships that were first introduced, like with that bronze look that we saw, you know, got teams like the New Day and the early version of the Usos and the Bar. We also saw, who is it? TJ Wilson and Cesaro, and back when they were with Natalya. So there's been a lot of championships come and go that have been called the WWE Tag Team Championships. And there was even a pair of championships back in the Ruthless Aggression era on SmackDown called the WWE Tag Team Championships. So I like that they brought it back. Obviously, I think that this is the best way to go. Don't ever change it again. And I like the look. I like that this is, you know, one of the rare championships that do have a unique look as the, you know, the current belts are being displayed right now. I just wish they would have added a little bit of color. Like, that's really it. Add a little bit of blue in there. Make it, You don't have to make it a blue strap and extremely synonymous with SmackDown. But I think that you could have added just a little bit of blue and, you know, it still would have worked out. Isn't the World Tag Team Championships, don't they have a little bit of red in theirs? I don't know. It just seemed like we could have gotten a little bit of color in these, but I do like them. Call me a prisoner of the moment, recency bias or whatever. But I do like the new design for these new Tag Team Championships. Number four, the Intercontinental. And this is one that I really didn't like at first because of how good the other one looked. Like the white strap that we saw the Miz hold, Dean Ambrose, many, many others held that white Intercontinental Championship. And that was truly my favorite. I have it sitting over here on one of my shelves. So I wasn't a fan of this belt when they first introduced it, but it has grown on me. I like that it is unique. And, you know, if you actually look into it and you look at the detail in the belt, I think that it was designed very well. Number three is the Undisputed WWE Champion, or the Undisputed WWE Championship, currently held by Cody Rhodes. This is another look that I feel like is growing on me. They have to leave it for a long time. Like, I've seen reports that they might try to bring back the Winged Eagle, and they might try to, you know, just give Cody Rhodes a different belt. Like, why? Just leave it the same, have this belt grow, and let it grow over time. Because I think that even if people aren't a fan of it right now, they probably will be. But for the most part, I've seen positive feedback on this belt. I like the gold, the black WWE logo. I just think it looks, you know, better than any of the other versions of like that WWE logo belt that we've seen in previous years. Now, if they would have just kept the original one, you know, the original WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I feel like, cool, it would have been great. But once they brought in the red Universal and the blue Universal, it just kind of watered down that design a little bit. And that's why I don't think I can put it at number one or even top two. Because number two is the United States Championship, which could easily be number one. Like, this is pretty much 1B here. I love this look. It does have the color. Another one that I really wasn't a fan of because of my connection to the nostalgic former United States Championship belt. So, yes, like, over time it's grown on me, and I do appreciate how badass it looks. But I still just, you know, I have a connection with some of the older championships, but I'm trying to look past that. I'm trying to appreciate how good this belt design really is, and that's why I put it at number two. And number one, currently held by Damian Priest, the World Heavyweight Championship. It's no secret, the old school World Heavyweight Championship, my favorite belt of all time. Doesn't even come close to any of the others. And the fact that this is clearly inspired by that, has almost the same shape, very similar look, just that WWE logo in the middle. It is my favorite championship right now on WWE. So that's why if Cody Rhodes were to move over to Raw, even though he's technically already on Raw, but if we're expecting him to take that championship with him over there, I would almost say, all right, let's have a nice trade-off. I'll take the World Heavyweight Championship over here and, you know, probably have to get Judgment Day too. But even if it's just Damian Priest, yes, I would make that trade because I want that World Heavyweight Championship on the show that I cover week in and week out. But that does do it for the top five. I'll recap it really quickly. Number five, the WWE Tag Team Championships. Number four, the Intercontinental Championship. Number three, the WWE Undisputed Championship. Number two, the United States Championship. And number one, the World Heavyweight Championship. So let me know your top five. Which ones did I leave out that you feel like, come on, man, that was one of the best designs. How are you going to leave that one out? Let me know what I missed, what you would rank higher, lower, all the good stuff. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the SmackDown Review. Come back next week. Tune into the football function. I have a pretty special mock draft that's going to be taking place, going to feature a lot of different people. I'm going to have a lot of different people picking for their respective favorite team. And it's one of the most unique things that I've done here since I've, you know, hosted the Football Function podcast. So thank you guys so much. Subscribe on Patreon, both to this show and to the function, because it's just the best way to listen to podcasts. But even if you don't, thank you so much for tuning in and making this show part of your weekly routine. Have a damn good rest of your weekend. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the WWE podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.